الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام اللہ تعالیٰ از فضل کرم از گریس از مرسی اللہ تعالیٰ از گیدر اس ونس اگین ٹو ٹیک ہز مبارک نیم اینڈ ریمبر اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ دس از دا گریس آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ وچ ہی بلیسز ہز بندرز اینڈ ہز سلیوز وتھ. وی generally attend these type of gatherings with the intention of rectification and sometimes specifically for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to our spiritual reformation and rectification, then we find that in certain places where there are khanqahs, where there are those type of mashayikh who have the khanqahs and where people come spend some time for their spiritual upliftment, and where they come and get some ability through the suhbat of the mashayikh of the Ahlullah to give up sins and to connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in these type of places we find that there are certain aspects, certain important aspects which are emphasized at the beginning. For instance, when one would go to Jalalabad, we all know the name of the personality who was the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed with unique type of character and akhlaq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with ilm, with amal, and people flocked to him for the spiritual reformation. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, other than attending to those that came to the Khanqah, came to the his majalis, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's good part of his time also went in Khatu Kitabat, in those people that had written to him for the spiritual upliftment or the problems. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali would reply letters for good period of time during the day. Early part of the morning, the Tahajjud time, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali would sit with these type of letters, Islahi letters, give answers to these letters and give people direction. But however, when one would go there at the outset, there would be certain things that would be mentioned for that person who is coming for his spiritual reformation. And generally these were those things that were also mentioned by our mashayikh and the akabirin in the prior ages as well. For instance, in order for one to make spiritual progress, the mashayikh, they used to give certain directions and certain prescriptions. And one of them was qillati ta'am, to reduce one's eating. That was one prescription that used to be given. Then the other used to be qillati kalam, or qillati ta'am, qillati manam. That is to sleep less also, to eat less, to sleep less. And qillati ikhtilat, that is to mix less with people. Now, The mashayikh of the latter times have mentioned that as far as our eating is concerned, then we should not reduce our eating to the extent that it has adverse effects on the body itself. So therefore our mashayikh say that pet bhar ke khao, ji bhar ke mat khao. In other words, eat to the extent that your stomach gets full, not your desire. The moment the stomach is full, then stop eating. Do not continue eating after that, so then we will be eating to our desires. And also when it comes to reducing our sleep, then it should not be to that extent that when we have to attend to other aspects of our life, when it comes to our work and so forth, then there we do not have the ability. And if it is a student, he's staying awake, right, late part of the night or early part of the morning, sleeping 1-2 hours. And when there is a time and need for him to attend classes and to be alert and to listen to the taqreer and to listen to the lesson that is being delivered by the ustad, then at that time he is sleeping. Or that he is staying awake most of the night, and at the time of Fajr, sleep overpowers him to the extent that he misses his Fajr Salah, sometimes either with Jama'at or that the Fajr becomes Qadha. So it should not be reduced to that extent. Have sufficient sleep that one is fresh when he gets up and can attend to the course of the day, and whatever work needs to be done he can do. But importantly, when it comes to the third aspect and qillat ikhtilat, that is meeting less. Now this is something that we can do, and we find that as the time is going and as we're getting closer to Qiyamah, the fitnas that are there are not going to be decreasing. There's going to be fitnas that will be increasing all the time. And sometimes what happens is that unconsciously we become targets of these fitnas. And because we cannot control our tongues, or because we meet excessively, then we get involved in these type of fitnas, whether it's arguments or whatever, in whichever other form it is. And these things lead to a lot of problems sometimes within the society, and not only within society but even within homes and families and marriages, because we cannot control ourselves. Now if you look into one hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that the good of a person's iman, his Islam, is that he should abstain from those aspects that do not concern him. Now if you look around us today, especially nowadays, there are so many issues. There are certain fitnas that come up from those, or that are started by those that are the enemies of the Muslims. And then sometimes there are fitnas that come up from within us. We ourselves are the cause of those fitnas. Now, irrespective of whether it is a fitna that has come from the outside, or whether it is a fitna that has been caused from within. Now what does a mu'min do? What does a Muslim do? Especially when it is related to certain things that may be of a halal-haram issue. Maybe something with regards to our eating, whether we can eat or we cannot eat. And whether sometimes it is that a certain body or a certain group of ulama may be mentioning something, and another group of ulama mentions something else. Now, the person, the ordinary person that does not have the knowledge of halal and haram, or does not know that what makes an item halal, what makes an item haram, then generally what we do is we follow certain people or certain ulama bodies or certain bodies to give us direction in an issue, whether this is halal or whether this is haram, whether this is permissible or whether it is impermissible. Now, in this issue, specifically if you look at the present issues that are carrying on, and you'll find that even, forget the Muslim media, but these things are even discussed in the non-Muslim media. And it is sometimes extremely embarrassing that, you know, like how sometimes we used to hear of the kangaroo courts. We used to hear of the kangaroo courts where justice is meted out. sometimes it gives a very similar impression that we are taking people to task on medias and so forth, and it becomes like a kangaroo court where we decide that who is the winner. Now unfortunately this is not the way that we as Muslims ought to behave. But other than that, thing is, sometimes irrespective of whatever the case may be, those of us who do not have that type of ability or that type of knowledge, then choose whomsoever we have trust in, if it is a body or if it is a group of ulama or a mufti or whatever the case may be, provided that he has got taqwa or that group is noted for its taqwa, etc., then follow whatever that particular jamaat says and go ahead. Now, unfortunately, what happens, sometimes we find that within a family, there was a question like this recently, where the wife is making amal on something and practicing upon the fatwa of maybe a certain alim or a certain mufti or a certain group of ulama or a certain organization. And the husband is making amal and is practicing on the ruling of some other organization. Now this brings about problem within the family, because the one is saying something is halal and the other one is saying it is haram, or the one is eating and the other is abstaining. Now this is within the family, and sometimes it goes outside the home as well. We are invited to our family's place, our brother's or sister's place. Now the question, you know, should I go there, shouldn't I go there, because they source, whether I should query where they are getting their chickens from or where they are getting their meat from, etc. And these things become issues, to the extent sometimes even if it happens that we are in some dawahs and invitations on a larger scale, when we have to go to walimas, we have to go to wedding invitations, and there sometimes you will find that one or two people are separate from the rest and would not partake of what the rest are eating. And not only that, there was not long ago, there was a student, and he was in a particular madrasa, and he was making amal on certain on fatwas with regards to certain issues when it came to eating and drinking, especially with these cool drinks and things of that nature. And that particular institute was noted for their stand on these issues, and alhamdulillah they made amal on taqwa and abstained from all these types of things. That was their fatwa, and they made amal on it. This particular student had to leave that institute to come to or to proceed to some other institution. Now when he comes to this next institution, he finds a whole different world, where all those that are surrounding him, whether it is his classmates, his roommates, and sometimes even maybe to the extent to his asatidh and to his ustads, who are making amal on something else, who may be consuming something which he does not consume, thinking it to be whether it's makruh or haram, whatever the case may be. Now he is in that environment where everybody else is consuming or eating something which he has abstained from. So now what does a person do under these circumstances? Now does one ridicule the other, or does that one ridicule this? How does one fit this into society, and how do we move forward as far as these issues are concerned? Because a person has got the right to make amal on whichever alim or whichever group he has got confidence in, whichever organization he's got confidence in, that this is the organization that I should follow, who has strict rules in place and whose issues of halal and haram we know, and we will follow this. And somebody else may be following something else. Now sometimes where the problem comes about is that it's an ordinary person sometimes, and we see it's, on the one hand, somebody may have given a fatwa of haram, but on the other hand, we will see ulama of taqwa, those people who in our eyes are people who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will not lead the ummah astray, who will not deliberately do something that will lead the ummah astray and break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consume those things which are haram, which have got in doubt in it. They will not deliberately do that. Now you find ulama of that caliber sometimes, for example, some of us may not be drinking cold drinks for whatever reasons. One is for health reasons, but sometimes it is for because of it being halal and haram, whatever the issues are at hand. But that may be a ruling of a certain group of ulama. But then we go to some occasion, or we go to some alim's house, and that alim is regarded as an alim of high taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may be even regarded as a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we go there, we see on his dasarkhan or on his table, we see cold ring there. Now what does a person do? So these are issues we need to understand, that if we have got confidence in somebody or in a certain organization, then follow whatever that organization has said, that okay, whether this is halal or haram or it's makruh or abstention, whatever the case may be, follow that. But when we go to somebody else's place, or when we go somewhere else, or when we are confronted with this type of an issue where you are going from one madrasa to another madrasa, from one institute to another institute, then those students or those people that are in that particular environment that are making amal on a certain fatwa, then you make amal on whatever fatwa you are making amal on, and do not ridicule those or that person that has come from a different environment and he's making amal on taqwa. In fact, these people that are making amal on fatwa should appreciate that here is a person who is abstaining from something just because of taqwa. Although you and I would like to drink something cold, it is nice, it's tasty, but just because there's a ruling of abstention as far as that item may be concerned, now this person's taqwa is of that level that he is abstaining from that item. So respect him for that and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah, give me the ability also to have the taqwa the like of which this person has. On the other hand, if you turn it the other way around, this person who is going into that type of an environment, do not feel and do not think ill and evil about these people, that all these people are consuming haram. And more especially if they are ulama of high caliber that are consuming that very same thing, and their research has shown it to be halal. So respect them for that, and respect those that are following them. Inshallah, if we do this, we will find that there wouldn't be these type of problems that we are experiencing in community. And sometimes, especially when it comes to within the family and within the home, sometimes there is a question of whether when it's a Hanafi and Shafi'i, when the husband is a Hanafi and the wife is a Shafi'i, or vice versa, it's still understandable. But when both are adherents of the same school of thought, but because one group of ulama or one group or one organization from amongst the same followers of the same madhab have given one fatwa and someone else's fatwa is something else, now it becomes a very difficult issue, because the husband says something, the wife says something else. There's a constant fight and there's this constant argument. Somebody is eating somebody, whether we should use the same pots or not, because she is cooking something, according to him it is haram. Now, whether when she's cooking something, whether she can use the same pot or not. Now, we should not go to these extremes. When we are confronted with these type of things, those ulama whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given insight, then go to them and ask them, listen, I am confronted with this type of an issue, what should I do? But do not make them such type of issues that they lead to separation sometimes between husband and wife. They lead to all types of problems sometimes between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, between families splitting up. It becomes issues on occasion sometimes of nikah, sometimes of walimas, and sometimes it's just an ordinary get together where people are getting together for the sake of muhabbat, calling the family together so that we may share a meal, and it may be a means of muhabbat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of these issues. And if you go a little further, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Now when we do not have that type of knowledge to debate on these issues, when we do not have the knowledge to debate on these issues as far as halal and haram, okay, if something is outright halal, which we know halal and haram, we know what Allah Ta'ala has ordained halal and haram, if it is straight cut, then it is understood. But if there's something, for instance, if we look at the issue of prawns, even the issue of prawns, there are some ulama that you will find have given, depending on what they have classified the prawns as, some have, because it's classified as a fish or it isn't classified as a fish or whatever, or based on this, there is a difference amongst the ulama whether it is halal or whether it isn't. Now, this issue we will find
that boat, there were some that may eat it, and some may say it is halal but will not eat it, and the others will say that it isn't halal or it's makruh, whatever the case may be. Now, irrespective of what the case may be, we need to understand, and because we do not have the knowledge, then do not debate on these issues. We rather just put our trust in some organization or some ulama or some mufti who we have trust in, that this person will not lead us astray. This person will not lead me astray. He will not deliberately show me something to be halal if it is haram, or haram if it is halal. Put our trust in that, and after that, keep quiet and make amal on whatever you are being told. And at that time, keep this hadith sharif in mind, min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Now, do not fall into unnecessary arguments and something that does not concern you after to prove it to be halal or true to prove it haram. Those people who are on that level, who will prove it to be halal or prove it to be haram based on their research and dalail and proof, they will do that. It is not my job. So why should I worry? The only thing I got to do is find out whether it is halal or haram. And once I've got the ruling, I will make amal on whatever. And when I go somewhere else, if I find everybody else is doing something else, then keep silent about the issue. Yes, unless you are asked that why aren't you eating this thing, then sometimes even that too, a person can make an excuse without making it an issue. Just keep quiet, make some reasonable excuse and do not eat. So there is way for that as well. So for everything, if we ponder a little bit, then instead of making things into arguments and fighting over issues and going into things sometimes which we ourselves do not possess the knowledge of, instead of going into all these things, remain silent, keep away from all these types of fitnas and all these types of arguments and quarrels, and especially when it comes to within the family, if there is this type of difference in opinion, sometimes it is even sometimes to basic things like sweets. Somebody is saying it's halal and someone is saying it's haram. Now what should we do? Should we eat it? Shouldn't we? So if you want to eat it and if you are following somebody's fatwa on it, well and good, you go ahead and follow that fatwa. And if somebody, the other party is saying that it is haram, then you do whatever you are. The fatwa that you have got from whomsoever you've got, provided once again the people or the sources where we are getting these fatwas from, they are people whom we can trust. They are people whom we can trust with our deen, because our deen is not something that we can play around with. We need to be very, very conscious and cautious about our deen as well. And also we must remember that when it comes to these issues, what we eat and what we consume, it impacts on our actions and our deeds. Therefore we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained many things or certain things haram for us, certain types of meat haram for us. It is because that type of meat or the flesh of that particular animal has such type of impact on the person itself and then on his actions and deeds. Therefore we find that those people who consume haram, out of something that is haram, totally haram, they consume that, we will see the actions that emanate from them, what type of actions they involve themselves in. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram for us, there is hikmat and there is wisdom of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, give us the hidayah, give us the understanding to understand these issues and to move away from all types of fitnas and from all types of arguments and feuds. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Yaar rahe ya rab tu mera aur main tera yaar rahun, mujhko faqat tujh se ho mohabbat, khalq se main bezaar rahun, har dam zikr o fikr mein tere mast rahun, sarshar rahun, hosh rahe na mujhko kisi ka, tera magar hushyar rahun, ab to rahe bas taad-e-aakhir, wird-e-zubaan mere ila, la ilaha illallah muhammadur rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Tere siwa maabood-e haqeeqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Tere siwa maqsood-e haqeeqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Tere siwa maujood-e haqeeqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Tere siwa mashhood-e haqeeqi koi nahi hai, koi nahi. Ab to rahe bas taadam-e aakhir wird-e zuba e mere ilah. La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yaad mein teri sab ko bhula doon, koi na mujhko yaad rahe. Tujh par sab garbar luta doon, khana-e-dil abad rahe. Sab khushiyon ko aag laga doon, gham se tere dil shaad rahe. Sab khushiyon ko aag laga doon, gham se tere dil shaad rahe. Sab ko nazar se apni gira doon, tujh se faqat faryaad rahe. Ab to rahe bas taadam-e aakhir wird-e zuba e mere ilah. La ilaha illallah. 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 Nafs o shaitan dono ne milkar hai kya hai mujhko tabah. Ae mere maula meri madad kar, chahta hu main teri pana. Mujhsa khalq mein koi nahi, go bad kirdaro namasiya. Mujhsa khalq mein koi nahi, go bad kirdaro namasiya. To bhi magar ghaffar hai ya rab, bakhsh de mere sare guna. To bhi magar ghaffar hai ya rab, bakhsh de mere sare guna. Ab to rahe bas تادم آخر ورد زبا اے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سوچو ذرا فرعون کے گھر میں موسیٰ کو پالا کس نے, غور کرو مچھلی کے شکم میں یونس کو رکھا کس نے, پہلے آگ میں ڈالا پھر آگ کو پھول کیا کس نے, ان کے نام کی گنگاتے ہیں ابراہیم خلیل اللہ. اللہ 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 الا 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 اللہ. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہوں, تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو, اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل, درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل, غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر, تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدر. اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ, اللہ 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 Allahu Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah, Allah, eeche shiri nast naam, shiro shakkar me shawad janam tamam. Allah, jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala shanu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا الله through your infinite فضل كرم grace mercy and احسان يا الله forgive the sins of the sinners that have gathered here this evening. Oh my beloved Allah, we acknowledge every sin that we have committed, every crime that we have committed. Oh my Allah, by night and by day, يا الله, we have committed gunas and crimes. We are ashamed of the gunas that we have committed. Oh my beloved Allah, your given ni'mats and your given bounties we use for your displeasure. Ya Allah, the eyes you have given us, Ya Allah, we use for your displeasure. We saw haram with the eyes that you gave us, Ya Allah, the beautiful ears that you gave us, Ya Allah, we heard haram. Ya Allah, the tongues that you have given and blessed us with, Ya Allah, we spoke haram. Oh my beloved Allah,
we have touched haram, we have walked towards haram. Oh my beloved Allah, through your infinite fadl, karam, grace, mercy and ihsan, forgive the sins of our eyes, forgive the sins of our ears, my beloved Allah. Forgive the sins that we have committed by our tongues, forgive the sins of our hands and feet. Oh my beloved Allah, how tolerant you are. Had there been another Allah, he would have destroyed us by now. Oh my beloved Allah, we are ashamed and regret our sins. Ya Allah, deep down in our hearts, we have remorse over the sins that we have committed. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive our major and minor sins. Forgive those sins that we have committed during the brightness of the day. And forgive those sins that we have committed during the darkness of the night, so in the privacies of our rooms, my beloved Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, when we are committing gunas in the privacy of our rooms or hotel rooms, oh my beloved Allah, we thought of everyone to have sight and we thought you to be blind. Ya Allah, you are not blind. Ya Allah, you have watched us. Ya Allah, you know every action of ours. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our major and minor sins. Ya Allah, even though our sins may be more than the waves of the ocean, even though our sins may be more than the grain of sand on the earth, my beloved Allah, and even though our sins may be more than the leaves of the trees of the world put together, your maghfirat, ya Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more than that. Just one drop from your ocean of maghfirat is sufficient to wash away our sins. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our major and minor sins. Ya Allah, forgive those sins that we have committed by night and those that we have committed by day. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of our parents. Forgive the sins of our family members. Forgive the sins of our children. Forgive the sins of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of our near and dear ones. Forgive the sins of those that have requested us to make du'as for them. Ya Allah, forgive the sins of those who have made ihsan and have got any favors upon us, whether it is deeni favors or dunyawi favors. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgive the sins of those that are living. And oh my beloved Allah, those that have passed on from this world, Ya Allah, forgive their sins as well. Ya Allah, on this evening, Ya Allah, in the presence of those masoom children that have raised their hands at this part of the night, Ya Allah, we ask and we beseech and we beg you for the forgiveness of those that have passed on from this world. Ya Allah, especially those that are caught up in the adab of the qabr. Ya Allah, through your infinite fadl, grace, mercy and ihsan, Ya Allah, forgive their sins. Ya Allah, remove the adab of the qabr. Ya Allah, remove the adab of the qabr. Ya Allah, you become happy and pleased with them. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, forgive the sins of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, Ya Allah, grant us realization. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, we have sinned and blackened our hearts. Ya Allah, we have made our hearts into filthy bin bags, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it was that place where you supposed to be residing, and your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love supposed to be residing. But Ya Allah, we have made our hearts into filthy bin bags. Ya Allah, all the filth of this world we have filled into our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, remove the filth of this world from our hearts. Ya Allah, clean and purify our hearts. Ya Allah, give us those hearts that you grant to the awliya siddiqeen. Oh my beloved Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Hawa o hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de, badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de, khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Oh my beloved Allah, make the decision of change for us. Oh my beloved Allah, if you made the decision of change for us, Ya Allah, you will become happy. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become happy. We will become happy. Oh my beloved Allah, the only one will become unhappy is shaitan. Oh my beloved Allah, change the condition of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we know that it is because of our sinning and disobedience to you that we're going through various types of problems and trials, my beloved Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, today there is no more unity left between husband and wife. There is no more muhabbat left between parents and children. There is no more love and affection between brothers and sisters. Oh my beloved Allah, the whole ummah is disunited. Ya Allah, change the condition of the ummah. Oh my beloved Allah, bring conditions of peace. Oh my beloved Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children. Oh my my beloved Allah, what period and time has come that children are swearing their parents, my beloved Allah, abusing their parents. Oh my beloved Allah, they do not want to obey their parents. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, give the parents hidayat. Oh my beloved Allah, give the children hidayat. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Oh my beloved Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Ya Allah, remove the differences that exist between husbands and wives. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Oh my beloved Allah, grant us the ability to forgive and forget. Oh my beloved Allah, if we are owing anything to anybody, grant us the ability to repay back to whomsoever, whatever may be due. Oh my beloved Allah, because of a few coins of this world, we have severed our relationship with our brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters are not talking anymore to each other. Oh my beloved Allah, remove the muhabbat and the love of the wealth of this world from our hearts, due to which we are suffering all these problems. Oh my beloved Allah, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Oh my beloved Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, give us respect for each other, give us muhabbat for each other. Ya Allah, unite us. Ya Allah, hame ek aur nek bana de. Oh my beloved Allah, make us one and united. Oh my beloved Allah, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my beloved Allah, what type of persecution and torture it is going through. They are kicked from pillar to post. Oh my beloved Allah, grant us the realization that we need to turn to you. We need to ask you for forgiveness. Oh my beloved Allah, for us there is no other door besides your door. Oh my beloved Allah, do not shut your doors of maghfirat. Do not shut your doors of mercy on us. Oh my beloved Allah, if a dog is seized away from one butcher, it can always go to another. If a beggar is seized away from one door, he can go to another door. But ya Allah, tu hame bata, agar tu ne darwaza ban kar diya, to hamare liye aur kaun sa darwaza hai? Oh my beloved Allah, tere siwa hamare liye koi nahi hai. Ya Allah, tere dar ke siwa koi dar nahi. Oh my beloved Allah, there is no other door besides your door. Ya Allah, yours is the only door that we'll tap, and we will go on tapping, my beloved Allah, until it opens someday. We have no doubt, my beloved Allah, that you will open your doors of maghfirat. You will open your doors of maghfirat and rahmat and mercy. Oh my beloved Allah, open the floodgates of your mercy. Let us be drenched in your rahmat and mercy, my beloved Allah. We know that we are the weakest of the weak. Oh my beloved Allah, we are sinful, ya Allah. Gunegar hai, badkar hai, siyakar hai. Sab kujhe bande magar tere hai, mere Allah. Tujhe chhodkar hum gande jaye kahan. Oh my beloved Allah, where do we go to after leaving you? There is no other place for us. Ya Allah, we trust in you. Ya Allah, we believe in you to be an all-seeing Allah, all-knowing Allah, all-powerful Allah. Ya Allah, you have qudrat and power over everything. Oh my beloved Allah, change the condition of the ummah. Ya Allah, you have the power to change everything. Oh my beloved Allah, everything lies in you. Ya Allah, you have power over everything. Oh my beloved Allah, through your infinite mercy, show mercy to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forgive the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, those that are sick and ailing, ya Allah, grant them shifa-e kamil, ajil, mustamir. Oh my beloved Allah, those that are in hospitals, those that are in clinics, those that are in their homes and that are sick, oh my beloved Allah, change the rahmat of sickness to the rahmat of shifa, my beloved Allah. No doubt sickness is also a rahmat from you. It is also a blessing from you. But oh my beloved Allah, we do not have the tolerance, ya Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, change the ni'mat of sickness to the ni'mat of shifa. Oh my beloved Allah, those that are terminally ill, ya Allah, you make it easy for them. Ya Allah, grant them sabr in their condition. Oh my beloved Allah, those that are serving and making khidmat of these people, ya Allah, grant them the best of rewards in both the worlds. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, those that are suffering depression, ya Allah, grant them happiness in their life. Oh my beloved Allah, if all these conditions are befalling us because of our disobedience to you, then ya Allah, you give us the tawfiq, you give us the hidayat, you give us the guidance to realize recognize our weaknesses, to recognize our weakness, and to realize that our only way that we can get salvation is to turn towards you, to ask of you, to beg of a Rahim Allah, to beg of a Kareem Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, how Kareem you are, how Rahim you are. Ya Allah, you love to forgive the sinners. Ya Allah, you love them to forgive the sins of the sinners when they turn to you and ask you for forgiveness of their sins. Oh my beloved Allah, those that have got financial problems, Ya Allah, remove their financial problems. Oh my beloved Allah, those that are involved in debts, Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, grant them sufficient halal risk that they can pay the debts, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, change the condition of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, grant us your love. Ya Allah, grant us the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, grant us so much of your love that to fulfill every command of yours becomes extremely easy for us. Ya Allah, grant us so much of love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that to implement and practice on every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes extremely pleasurable for us. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq to and the hidayat and the guidance to appreciate, Ya Allah, the sacrifices of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his ummah. Oh my beloved Allah, every Nabi on the day of Qiyamah will be worried about himself, but this Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Qiyamah, when every other Nabi will be calling out, Ya Rabbi, nafsi, nafsi, Ya Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be calling out, Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati, Ya Allah, his own life, Ya Allah, he was concerned about the plight of his ummah. Oh my beloved Allah, he was concerned about us, those that will to come 15 centuries after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, he was concerned about every ummati of his. He stood and he cried and he begged before you. He was pelted, he was called by names, my beloved Allah. Industries of animals were placed on his back because of his ummat. Oh my beloved Allah, what concern he had for his ummat. Today that very same ummat is not bothered about the sacrifices of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, sunnahs are out of our lives. Our eating is nowhere close to sunnah. Our swearing is nowhere close to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, what gross injustice we are committing. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, forgive this major crime of ours. Ya Allah, forgive this shortcoming of ours. Ya Allah, through your fadl, karam, grace, mercy and ihsan, Ya Allah, grant us the closest of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, Ya Allah, grant us khushu and khudu in our ibadat. Ya Allah, grant us concentration in our ibadat. Ya Allah, let our ibadat become like the ibadat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, through your power of jazbi, Ya Allah, draw us close to you. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your love. Fill our hearts with the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, make us a fish that swims deep down in your ocean of ma'rifat. Ya Allah, grant us all that good that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked you for. Ya Allah, all his life Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam begged and he cried and he asked of you. Oh my beloved Allah, especially on the occasion of Hajjatul Wada, Ya Allah, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you, whilst touching the Rukni Yamani, whilst making the tawaf of the Kaabatullah, Ya Allah, Hajar-e Aswad ko chum karke jo Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne aap se maanga, Ya Allah, Hatim mein namazein par karke jo Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne aap se maanga, Ya Allah, after drinking Zamzam when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you, Ya Allah, in Maqam Ibrahim when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam begged of you, Ya Allah, in Safa and Marwa when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked of you, Ya Allah, in Mina and Muzdalifah when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you for, Ya Allah, and especially in Arafat, from Zuhar till Maghrib, that Masoom Nabi raised his hands and he asked and he asked and he begged of you. Oh my beloved Allah, all that good that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you for, Ya Allah, bless us with that good. Bless our parents with that good, my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, our children that good. Ya Allah, bless our near and dear ones with that good. Bless the whole ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with that good. Ya Allah, and our progenies to come up to the time of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, bless them with that good as well. Oh my beloved Allah, and all the evil that Sayyiduna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for protection from, Ya Allah, protect us, protect our parents, protect our family members, protect our children, protect our near and dear ones, protect those that have request us to make du'as for them. Protect the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, and our progenies to come up to the time of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, protect them as well from all the evil that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you for protection from. Ya Allah, garche pur khata hai, par kahan jaye tera banda, tere dar par tera banda, ba ummeede karam aaya. Ya Allah, if you become ours, then everything is ours. Ya Allah, the heavens will be ours and the earth will be ours. Ya Allah, if you are not ours, then nothing is ours. Ya Allah, our homes will not give us comfort. Our wealth will not give us comfort. Our beautiful cars will not give us comfort. Our children will not bring us comfort. Ya Allah, but if you are ours, then everything will be ours. Agar tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zami meri. Ya Allah, if you become ours, then everything is ours. Everything will be in our favor. Ya Allah, grant us the best in this world and grant us the best in the akhirah. Ya Allah, the time of our mouth, take us away to Madinah Tayyiba. Ya Allah, while reciting salat and salam before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let our souls be extracted. Ya Allah, let our burial be in Baqi. Tamanna hai ki diyare Madina ab watan hota. Wahi jita, wahi marta, wahi goru kafan hota. Ya Allah, if mouth is not written in that Mubarak place, Ya Allah, wherever mouth is written, Ya Allah, the time of mouth that has been engaged in such type of actions that are pleasing to you and pleasing to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the Mubarak mouth. Ya Allah, bless us with mouth on Iman. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-Iman. Ya Allah, wa amitna ala al-Iman. Wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma'al-Iman. Ya Allah, resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين يا رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.